So you have decided to take the plunge and start your own business. But before you do anything else, you should probably think about doing this. And we're talking about exactly what that is in today's episode of Off the Trail. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to MHB's Off the Trail. And today we are joined by Sam Candle, who is an advanced certified business advisor and interim director at the Mid-Hudson Small Business Association Center. Welcome, Sam.
Hello.
Thank you so much for hopping on today. And we're going to talk about business plans. I think one of the things that the pandemic kind of spawned was this real entrepreneurial spirit. And a lot of people are diving into opening their own businesses, but not necessarily giving thought to what steps they need to take to make that successful. So let's start real basic and talk a little bit about what exactly is a business plan.
Well, a good thing to compare a business plan to is a roadmap. If you have to get from point A to point B, and you've never been there before, and you don't have Google Maps, you have no idea how to get where you're going. So a business plan is a way for a business to get from point A to point B. So basically, it's a set of assumptions. It has a goal, either a financial goal, or you know, it can have any kind of goal, basically. But basically, typically, it's a financial goal, either to raise money, either for a startup business or for for an expansion of an existing business. It's a written document, which usually intimidates people because they have to write something. And it includes words, and it also includes numbers, because businesses are dependent on numbers more than they are on words. And usually I refer to the written part of the business plan as footnotes to the financials, because basically what it is stating what the assumptions are in a typical set of financial projections, you know, which is a profit and loss, a cash flow statement, a balance sheet, et cetera. So that's typically what a business plan is. It includes a lot of different information. We have a structure that we use here in our business plan workbook, which I've personally been using for, you know, almost the 20 years that I've been here. It's a very good outline, and includes things like the purpose of the plan, certainly, what you're trying to do, how much money you're trying to raise. It has a detailed description of the ownership, the business structure, how your business model generates or your business generates cash flow, because business is all about generating cash flow. If you don't generate money, then you're not really in business. It has information about the industry that you're in, because it's also a document that educates your audience, because it has an audience. They might not know anything about the industry that your business is in. So it has a market analysis. Typically, it has a description of the competitive landscape of the business that you're in, who are your competitors, how are you going to get market share away from them, a summary of the people who work there, how much they make, how they're compensated, and all of this information gets distilled down again into a set of financial assumptions. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what the fundamentals of the business plan are. And you know, my two favorite words when people put business plans together are "see attached." So if you're planning on building a building, you don't have to write every detail and where every electrical socket is going to be. You can attach the construction contract or the construction estimate and say, you know, you can summarize it with a few sentences and say, "see attached." So people tend to write too much. I've gotten 200 page business plans that by the time I was finished working with the client, it's down to like 10. It's not how much you write. It's what's appropriate when you're putting your plan together. I could go on and on.
I've been doing this
for a long time.
That's a lot of information. And we're going to circle back to that towards the end of our conversation. But I want to go back to one of the things you said a couple times, and you were saying, you know, financial goals and in terms of raising money. So I'm assuming, or reading between the lines, that someone who needs a business loan or a line of credit to start or operate their business is going to have to provide a business plan to the financial institution. Is that accurate?
Without question. It's something that when I had my own business a long time ago, before there was electricity, I went to business school, but I never really had any formal business plan written down when I had my own business or when I worked for other businesses, for that matter. It wasn't part of my vernacular at that point in time. And when I became an advisor with the SBDC, it took a while for me to understand how really important it is, because, again, it's a roadmap to get from point A to point B without getting lost in between.
Right.
So it is essential for any bank to borrow money without any question. Required.
And, you know, I would think as you're starting a business, it's probably really easy to kind of get caught up in the exciting part, like, oh, I need a logo and I need colors and I need merchandise or whatever the case may be. But just reiterate quickly for us, why is it so important to have this business plan in place first, A? And B, well, can't I kind of get started on my business and then go back and do the business plan?
The first and most important reason you do a business plan is determine whether what you want to do is feasible. So starting after the fact is not, in my opinion, and in my experience, is not an appropriate path to take. Mm-hmm. It's a lot cheaper to fail on paper than it is to go out and do something and have it not work out in the real world. So you can work out the kinks on paper. It's not that necessarily everything that you write in a business plan becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, but definitely there's an opportunity to make changes that don't cost you a penny if you do it in writing first. Okay, so that's an important distinction to make. So feasibility is the number one reason you do a business plan. The second reason you do a business plan is because you have to submit it to a bank or you have to submit it to investors. Investors require a plan too, because they may not want to get paid back regularly because they're giving you a loan, but they want a return on investment. So they might want to make five times their money in 5 years or 10 years. So you have to show them how the business can do that. So starting after the fact is not a great idea. I also usually advise my clients to take to become dispassionate about their plan. You know, business is a cruel master. You need to have passion in what you do, but if you become too emotionally involved in what you're doing in order to get the business started, it can also be an obstacle in my mind. So, you have to be pragmatic in my mind about what you're doing. And the other thing is that, you know, a lot of people will come who want to start a business, only with startups, or not necessarily with startups, and they have stars in their eyes, like you said, and they're all excited. But the romance of having your own business is not necessarily the reality. Okay. So for example, if somebody is, let's say that they're in the trades and they're a plumber or a carpenter and they've been working for somebody else for 20 years and they decide they want to go out and start their own business. Well, the reality of it is not only they're going to have one job at that point in time, they're going to have two jobs because they have to do the carpentry work during the day. And then they have to run the business in between all those hours, manage employees, manage schedules and all that other kind of stuff that whoever they worked for before was probably doing for them. And the second most important thing to understand is that you're the last person to get paid, not the first person to get paid. So, you have to make sure that when you're putting your plan together, especially in terms of the finances, that if you're making $60,000 a year working for somebody else, that you make sure that your business at least will generate enough money to operate and also pay yourself. Well, you'll have your own business and be living in your car. So that's not a viable outcome.
Right. So what would you say then? Is it that financial piece that would be the biggest risk to somebody going ahead and starting their business without first completing a business plan, or what would be the biggest risk?
Yeah, the business risk is because, you know, if you go to a bank, well, first of all, you're not going to get any money from a bank if you don't have a business plan. So let's say you're investing all your money. You know, if you're investing $100,000 in starting your own business that you've saved up over 10 or 20 years or whatever, are you putting that money at risk? So the more planning you do on the front end, the less risk you're putting into spending that money or the bank's money for that matter. So, you know, it's really risk return. And there's less risk if you put more work in on the front end. So,
right.
At least that's my advice. Not everybody takes my advice, by the way.
Well, speaking of advice, okay, so let's go back to when you were kind of talking about what's in the business plan, and you threw out a lot of, you know, pretty intimidating things, profit and loss projections, you know, building plans if you're actually having a physical location. That's incredibly overwhelming. So how does somebody start, and do, you know, do they have to do this on this on their own?
Well, when I was preparing for the, you know, to do this, I gave some thought to try to put a timeline together of how one would do it. So usually I say start with stream of consciousness. You have an idea, get out a yellow pad or a white legal pad or whatever, and just start writing things down. Gather information. Okay, in terms of what's important, you know, what the important details are in terms of moving forward, put a formal outline together. I mean, this is like, you know, write an essay in college 101, but put an outline together and then meet with somebody like me or somebody else who has experience putting those ideas and that outline together into a formal business plan. Now, I've done hundreds of them or worked on hundreds of them with you know, I probably worked with 2,000 people over the past 20 years. Not everybody needed a business plan, but a lot of people. So find somebody who has expertise who can help you through the process to make sure that it's complete and appropriate and that you feel comfortable. It's not up to me to feel comfortable with your project. It's up for me to provide enough information for you to make a good business decision. So make sure you have enough information so that you feel comfortable making a good business decision and then presenting that to somebody else to raise funds. Or even if it's all your money, you're convincing yourself to spend all of your savings on something.
Right. So. Right. So Sam, talk to us a little bit, you know, plug yourself and what you do a little bit for people who are interested in talking to you or potentially getting your help in doing their own business plan.
So there are small business development centers in every state of the union. There are 24 centers in New York State. We're all regional. You know, I work at the Mid-Hudson one, which covers, I'll see if I can remember all seven counties. Part of Schoharie, Delaware, Greene, Dutchess, Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster. I might have said Ulster twice. That's seven, I think. Anyway, it's close enough. So we're the Mid-Hudson Center.
Okay.
Currently, we have one, two, three full-time and one half-time counselor here. We're actually down a few people because of the some retirements. And we cover that region. The SVDC services are free. They're funded partially by the federal government and partially by the state government, who matches the federal funds. And in New York, we're all hosted by SUNY campuses. So we're hosted by Ulster Community College. There are a couple of other centers that are hosted by private colleges, just for convenience sake, but most of the money filters through the SUNY system. So our services are free. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy because small business is the engine that drives our economy, not big business. And if we help people create successful small businesses, then we're creating taxpayers. So that money filters back through the system, through the Congress and through the SBA and back into the SBDCs. So we've been here since 1984. I haven't been here since 1984. Hopefully we'll go into the future and continue to help the economy, local economy here grow.
Yeah. Excellent. So what's the website someone could look up to learn more about the services, or phone number?
You can contact our main office, which is in Kingston, at 845-802-9150. The website would be mid-hudsonny.nysbdc.org.
Okay. Excellent.
Right now we're working remotely for obvious reasons. So if somebody wants to have an appointment, they register online then they're assigned a counselor and we take it from there.
Excellent. Sam, I think for me, one of the most profound things you said throughout this conversation was it's better to fail on paper than in real life, which I think is incredibly powerful and pretty much sums up why someone would need a business plan. But do you have any other last minute thoughts or advice or anything that you want to share with our listeners?
I think you asked me how people should get started. This isn't really critical information. I'm a one-on-one person. I think that's the best way to for somebody who's unfamiliar and has never done a business plan before, to work one-on-one with somebody. There are online services that you can sign up for. I find that they help people create the same paragraph and copy and paste it over and over again and create charts that have no meaning. So I think it's important to actually have somebody who has a lot of experience doing this. I wouldn't try to do it yourself, at least the first time.
Right. So. I wouldn't try to do especially, it
myself. Especially the numbers.
Because
most people are, even experienced business people that I work with over time are very uncomfortable working with the finances of their business, but they're right. Really good at writing, flowery language. So becoming familiar with how all the numbers of a business interact is really the most important thing to understand.
So
that's my advice.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. This was a lot of great information and we really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Anytime.
And thank you for tuning in. As always, if you have any suggestions for a podcast, email us at podcast@mhvfcu.com. We will see you next time when we go off the trail.